Hello, good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, November 30th. I'm Ray Graff. It's a computer show today, and when we do a computer show, we're always happy to welcome back Tony Yang, who will help you troubleshoot your computer issues. Tony is the operator of Albany-based Gig Computers. It must be the cold medicine. Albany-based Gig Computers, which currently manages the computer network here at WAMC. Gig focuses on PC repairs, network consulting, and voice over IP communications. So if you have a question about your computer setup at home, at the office, in the vehicle, whatever, give us a call, 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here to answer your questions, 800-348-2551. We kick off after news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. For most of us, they're staples of our daily lives. They can be extremely helpful, but also very frustrating. I'm talking about computers, don't you know? And here to answer your computer-related questions is Tony Yang. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. His company took off like a rocket. And today, Tony manages networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one, ranging from a few computers to many hundreds. Always great to have Tony Yang on the program. Tony, welcome back.
Thank you, Ray. Great to be back.
Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 if you have a computer question. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, and we do try to get to those. We may not get to all of your emails, but we'll do our best. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Still a few open lines here as we begin the program. So not a lot to... The world isn't ending. Usually you're on in the wake of a major hack or something terrible's happened. I mean, there's the Mac thing.
That's right. There's the Mac thing. Unfortunately, we don't have any other major hacking activities since the last show. But there is the issue with the latest Mac
OS.
What happened? There was a programming glitch that allows full admin access to a Mac system if you have physical access to the computer.
Right.
You will have to have somebody sitting in front of your Mac to be able to get access to it. Otherwise, you're fine.
So if you're at your house, barring a break-in or somebody just showing up, you're okay.
You're okay, right. But still get the latest patch and get the system updated.
And have they patched it?
They have patched it. Okay. So the first patch was released to fix the security hole, and then what happened was that fix that they sent out caused a file sharing problem. So they had another fix to fix that.
Okay. All right.
But if you just keep your Mac up and running, it will update the patches automatically.
Fair enough. Tony Yang is our guest. The lines are loading up here, so let's get right to the calls. 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Michael in Springfield. Michael, you're on.
How are you doing?
Good.
Hello, Mike.
Well, here's what I got. I got an iMac that I only use for photography, and I only really have Lightroom and Photoshop on it. And I had a problem where it locked up. I couldn't open up anything. It all I had was a little tiny box in the middle of the screen. So I brought it to a local computer store to have them take a look at it, like a $30 look over. And they said the motherboard was fried. I guess I don't know how or why, but that's what they said. But I don't know the model number. I'm not a computer guy. But it's a 17-inch screen, so it's an older iMac. So I went on eBay, and I see them there for like $50, $60. So they're not really worth the repair of the motherboard on those, are they?
Well, you know, when it comes to repairing the motherboard, the one thing you got to keep in mind is you don't know until you put a good motherboard in to find out whether there are other components that are bad on your system. So, typically, if the computer is an older generation PC, we don't recommend replacing the motherboard. That's kind of the last thing you want to do because there could be a whole lot of other issues with the system besides the board itself. So I normally wouldn't recommend that they replace the board. It's a pretty intensive task to do that itself.
All right. And when a motherboard does go, is it generally the main chip, or is it a capacitor on the board, which is easily replaced?
Capacitors are typically the most common problem that we found, after all of these years, and if you can do soldering, you can replace those solder chips fairly easily.
I mean, the chips, the main chips, right? They're fairly stable, aren't they?
They are, and most of the time, what we see is the capacitors bulging. You can see liquids oozing out of them, and if you can replace those, that usually stabilizes the motherboard.
Of course, most people would just as soon get a new computer than to do that. But if you have some skill and some time, you could save a heck of a lot of money doing that sort of thing.
I couldn't agree more.
By the way, though, you can also shock yourself, because all capacitors are like little batteries.
That's right.
They carry stuff that will give you shocks.
Yes, so be careful.
Yeah. But,
it's if you want to be a tech and give it a shot, do it. It's fun.
Do you have your people do that from time to time?
We do that. Yes, we do that routinely.
Okay. All right, let's go over to Ray in Albany. Ray, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about Windows 10. What's happened is, and it just happened all of a sudden, is the aspect ratio is wrong on my screen, whether I'm using the Internet Explorer or something like that. It's very flat and wide, and there's big space in between the letters. And I've tried changing the display settings, and that really doesn't help much. And usually goes back and reverts back to this fat, squat screen. And I don't know what to do. I've gone to some community boards, and they say it's a problem with the Windows program update. And so I don't know if there's anything that can be done.
Yeah, typically, so what you want to look at are maybe two areas here. One is the resolution that you're setting the video display at.
If that's part of the display thing, I've done that.
Yeah, so there is, typically you have one setting that your screen, your monitor is designed for, whether it's 1080p or it's the 4K, whatever it is. So when the monitors are displaying a resolution that's not designed for your screen, you get these weird sizes on a screen, either only cover 70%, 80%, or 90% of the screen. Now, if that's not your issue, then what it might be is it could just be different font sizes that have changed, one maybe at some point that's giving you these distorted views.
Just a question real quickly, Ray. Are you talking about a laptop or a desktop computer?
Desktop. It's a Dell.
I wonder if the Dell monitor itself has a zoom button or an aspect ratio switch that you should mess with.
That's a very good point, Ray, actually. That's another thing to look at. If it's not your monitor, then it will be the video display setting itself.
It could be a combination of you hitting the button by mistake on the monitor and then adjusting the computer to try to fix it, and now it's all bollocked up. So you may want to take a look at that actual monitor itself.
Good idea.
Yeah, we set it back to factory defaults.
Hey, man, good luck, and let us know next time. I'm sure we didn't help you at all, but we'll find out.
Ray, we got a job opening for you.
Forget about it. Let's go to Nick in Williamstown. I'm in radio. I don't work for a living. Nick, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about VoIP with faxing and what speeds I can set it to, because I've been having issues after transferring from a regular phone line to VoIP with a fax machine.
Oh boy, Nick, you are talking about something that we really have a lot of expertise in.
Okay, but first, before you answer the question, for those who don't know, VoIP, VoIP is what?
Voice over IP.
Okay, now go ahead.
Okay, so Nick, faxing over voice over IP is a no-no in our industry, and we've been hammering away at this for the last 10-15 years. So now depending on which service you use. Companies like Vonage offers a what's called a T.38 voice over IP faxing. Mm-hmm. The max baud rate that you can set that at is 14.4. If you go any higher than that, it's going to have problems. But so keep that in mind. And then the what gets even worse than that is even at the 14.4, it is probably at most 95% to 98%. Reliable.
Really?
So we do not do voice over IP faxing.
Well, that's a flaw in the system.
It is. It was never designed for that, especially when you're trying to fax it, when you try to send faxes from a fax machine that doesn't have the T.38 support. So it's a messy,
yeah,
messy area.
Unfortunately for me, my client switched to VoIP, and I'm kind of stuck trying to get their fax machine working on it.
I got you. So here's the solution for you. Vitality.com offers what they call a eFax adapter, and it does faxing for you over the internet, and it's 100% reliable. So take a look at that.
What's the name of the company?
Vitality.com, VitelIety.com.
Interesting. Well, Nick, maybe that will work for you.
I don't think so. Unfortunately, they won't buy something like that. I need to get their speeds working for them.
Oh, yeah.
14.4 is the best you're going
to
get.
I'm literally just showed up to the clients to fix this, so it was perfect timing.
Well, maybe
I got you.
Maybe smoke signals or semaphore is better. Hey, we have to take a quick break here. Nick, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Mass Match. For over 15 years, a locally owned dating and matchmaking service connecting singles through private matchmaking in Western Massachusetts and beyond. MassMatch.com. Merriman & Pfister's Marketplace, 388 Kenwood Avenue, Delmar, New York. An independent gift shop offering local art and artisan-made ornaments, pottery, jewelry, scarves, and more. Merriman, PFISTER.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche. QFCC.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with Tony Yang, and we take your computer-related questions today on the program. 800-348-2551, the number, and Andy in Ackerd. Andy, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have a MacBook Air, mid-2013 manufacturer, and I recently upgraded to Mac OS High Sierra.
Yep.
And I'm having problems since then.
You're having what since then, Andy? I'm sorry, you cut out. You're having what since then?
I'm having some problems since I upgraded to the High Sierra.
Okay.
I lost my Bluetooth capability, and when I open up photos, the metadata is all off. The times are all off. Hmm. On all the photos that I put in since I upgraded to the High Sierra.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may have a just the application incompatibility with the new OS. It does happen routinely from one OS to another. Happens on the Microsoft platform as well. There is unfortunately no clear path to fix something like that. I would definitely try to reinstall whatever software you're using, or get the latest version of the software that you're using.
Yeah, can you get patches? I would assume that if it's happening to Andy and Ackerd, it's happening to 1,000, 10,000 other people.
Yeah, whenever you do a OS upgrade, you always want to get the latest software available for that platform. So I would check with your software manufacturer and see if they have an update for whatever software that it is you're using.
Okay, so but you haven't heard of this specific problem?
No, there are a number of different issues out there, but nothing major that's affecting, you know, everybody. So I'm not aware of anything
okay.
like that.
All right, Andy, thanks a lot for the call and good luck. Over to Ed in Wilbraham. Ed, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
What I'm wondering about is when I download Windows malicious software removal tool manually, and then I run a full scan on it. As the scan is running, you know, so it takes maybe an hour and a half. As the scan is running, it shows that there's maybe 507 or 508 files infected. When it actually completes and it says finished, you know, I go ahead and push the button and it says no. You know, I click on it and it says no files infected.
Huh.
And then if I run it again, it'll come back with the 500 files infected. And same thing. Click it, and it says that no files found to be infected.
Yeah, Ed, I will recommend maybe just using a different
second
software.
Opinion. Yeah.
Get a second opinion. Run a different software such as Norton or McAfee. You know, lots of different options out there. Trend Micro are all good. And
okay. Yeah.
But it sounds like you do. You probably have something on there.
And the free one that we use from time to time is the name eludes me. It's a .org. It's
Malwarebytes. You're talking
Malwarebytes,
about?
Malwarebytes. Yeah.
That would do it as well. So
well, which one is that now?
Malwarebytes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, I would do a scan with that. Sometimes that'll pick up stuff that...
Yes, actually that picks up some stuff that these antivirus softwares don't pick
up.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Let's go over to... Who's been waiting longest? Mike. Mike in Saratoga Springs, you're on. Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have more of asking your expertise advice. My son will be going to college. Do you have any advice about... He's going to be a business major, but... You know, what type of computer, Windows or Mac, laptops, I don't know, any general advice?
Yeah. Hi, Mike. So most schools would recommend a particular operating platform. So whether it's Windows or Mac, most universities that I've seen so far recommend Microsoft platform.
Yeah.
So I will take a look at that first to see if the school has a recommendation officially for their classrooms. So if there isn't, then my recommendation typically to people is get a Microsoft platform PC, because parts, software, printers, all of these components that you might get in the future tend to be less expensive.
Oh well, yeah.
So in the long run, your investment will be less on a Microsoft platform.
Okay, and you're not able to give advice as far as brands or.
Oh you know, boy, that's a hard nut to crack.
Okay.
Yeah, but I would
leave it at that then.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike. We appreciate it. And in high school, and even in middle school, and even in elementary school, my kids are using Chromebooks.
Yes,
like
actually, that's true.
I don't know if you have the number crunching power for a college, especially a business major, but for the school kids in, third grade through 12th grade, these Chromebooks are quite something.
They are, and they're very, very inexpensive.
Yep.
You get to use on Google Drives for free, so
yep.
It's a huge hit with these lower grade schools. The problem with Chromebook is you can't run some of the software.
Right, and so I assume if you want to run big spreadsheets, if you're a business major, you probably need something with some
that's right.
crunching power. All right, over to Heidi in Schenectady. Heidi.
Hi, thanks.
Hi.
I have a maybe simple question. I have an iPad mini. I want to say it's about a year old. I'm not sure exactly. And it just stopped charging one day. And it wasn't the charger. You know, I tried multiple chargers. And I talked to Apple on the phone, and they said there was nothing I could do, throw it away. And that it seemed, is it worth trying to get that fixed or no?
Yeah, iPad minis are fairly inexpensive. But before you think about, you know, throwing that away, have you done a factory reset on the iPad?
And they did walk me through some steps. I can't remember exactly what it was, hitting a couple buttons at the
okay.
same time.
So there are couple of different ways of resetting your iPad. There's what they call a data reset, which only wipes out certain things. Mm-hmm. And then there's a full reset that wipes out all of your content settings to completely reset it back to factory default.
I can't even turn it on, though, to do any kind of reset.
Oh, because it won't charge.
Right.
Huh. Okay. Well, then we're at a bad place with that.
And you've used different chargers and everything else.
Yes. Oh, and the chargers, the chargers work fine.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't even boot it up, it's probably.
Can I complain for a minute?
Sure.
Why should you have to throw away a device when, if you can get the darn thing open, it has a battery that should be replaceable? Why? That seems ridiculous.
So, iPad can't be open. We've replaced batteries. We've repaired screens on it. I've done it for myself.
They can be open.
Yes.
Okay.
Just like any other device out there.
So this is not something Heidi should try on her own?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. And if you bring it to a repair shop, you know, the cost of doing that is close to the cost of replacing it.
Yeah.
So that makes no economical sense.
Well, I suppose, Heidi, if you're resigned to getting a new one anyway, maybe before you do that, you find a savvy friend and say, look, no harm, no foul. See if you can get this pig open up, and we'll replace the battery. And if they break it, they break it.
Yeah, no. If it was just garbage and not even worth anything for the parts, then I could just try it myself.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't sure if it was even worth taking it to a place or not.
Yeah. That's expensive repair, huh?
Well, Heidi, I tell you what. If you and people have done this in the past, listeners of this show, drop it off at our office, and one of our guys might just be, interested in cracking it open and taking a look at it for you.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Heidi. We appreciate that. Our number is 800-348-2551. I mean, you can get a laptop open. I've opened laptops. We've replaced motherboards and video cards and everything else.
So the issue with the iPad is all those circuits are
it's all
integrated
it's all
under
surface
the board.
Mount and
so it's the board and the battery, and there might be a separate module for the antenna.
But it's still ribbon cables, right?
It is still ribbon cables. You can open it up and play with it. I've done it plenty of times.
Have you broken one?
I've broken more than one.
Well, you see, maybe that's why Heidi doesn't want to do that. All right, let's go over to Bill in Saratoga Springs. Bill.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, Bill.
A little question. It has nothing to do with the programs, I don't think.
All right.
I have a Hewlett-Packard laptop that I've been using for about a year or so, but I don't use it very much. It's internet and some games and some spreadsheets. And I keep it connected with my power cord all the time, and I just run. And it's been very good. But the other day I was going to take the computer out of my office or out of my home to go someplace, and I pulled the power cord out, and I turned it on, so it was all running off the battery power. It was very good. Nice, bright screen. Everything's fine. I plugged the power cord back into the laptop, and my screen loses about half its brilliance. Any idea why that would lose the brightness? I took the plug out, and it brightens right up.
Yeah.
Put the plug back in, it goes dull.
You know, what's funny, Bill, is it's usually the reverse of that.
Yeah.
When you run a battery, it's trying to conserve power, so it dims the screen because that's what uses the most amount of power on a laptop. When you plug it in, it just goes full brightness. So you're having the opposite effect, which is kind of strange.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So you can.
When I plug it in, it goes dull.
Yeah, that's weird. There is typically, just quick buttons to turn on the brightness. So you can do a function key. Usually it's one of the F1, 2, or 3 keys to get it to turn up the brightness. Are you using the original charger, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not – sometimes a replacement generic charger could cause a problem like that.
Well, the charger could be going too.
You're having the opposite effect of what it should be happening. Take a look at your power settings. To make sure that they're set up properly. The power management, yep. Because you can set specifically how monitors and how the brightness behaves when you plug it in and unplug it. Yeah. You might have it just in the opposite direction.
That's an interesting one.
How would that have changed when it simply pulled the plug and put it back in?
Yeah, no, it shouldn't. That's the thing. What's happening to you should not be happening.
But you usually run it with the power cord in, right, Bill?
Yeah, all the time.
And then you pulled it out for a little while, and it worked fine. Then you went back in. I'm wondering if that charger is firing enough amperage to trickle charge the battery, but not enough to run the machine at the same time.
Yeah, you would think that by plugging it in, you wouldn't get any less power than you're already getting.
Logically, maybe it's a power management issue.
Yeah, I think it's power. Take a look at the power management, Bill. That's the best way. I think that's the first step I would take.
It makes sense because if he rarely, if ever, pulled the cord out, he would never have noticed this problem.
Right.
So it's probably a setting there. All right. Boy, you're good, Tony. 800-348-2551 is the number on Vox Pop. Ryan in Amherst. Ryan, you're on.
Hi, guys. I'm currently a junior studying computer science, and I'm focusing on network security. And I have a couple small jobs that I've done in the past, a couple small business owners for some local server maintenance here and there, a couple, you know, pretty light websites. So I was mainly just wondering if Tony had any advice for things to do and advice on getting into an entry-level position in this field.
Okay.
Career advice.
Yeah.
Well, you're majoring in a good profession these days. I mean, computer science is a huge field, obviously. Network security is an important specialty to get into. I would definitely go and look for internships.
Yeah,
you know there's nothing like a hands-on experience. When I was Albany's computer science program, at least back in my time, was very, very theoretical. We knew how ones and zeros work. We could do assembly language like nobody else.
Yeah,
but most of us never actually built a computer. We learned that on our own. So, you know, there are things that you won't learn from the book, and you just have to crack away at it.
And I think that's
on a PC.
In any profession, getting that internship is so huge.
It is. That's a major thing. When we look to hire new employees, you know, experience is on the top of the list.
Well, you should be making some good money, though, Ryan. So good luck, and we appreciate the call. You drive a red Ferrari now, right?
In my mind, I do.
Well, yes. 800-348-2551, the number. Peter in Clifton Park is on. Peter.
Hey, guys. I have a question about my dad's workstation. We have computers set up as workstations. Everybody has dual monitors. But yesterday morning, his computer beeped and shut itself down, and when it turned back up, one monitor, it wasn't recognizing both monitors. It recognizes both as a single monitor, and they're mirrored, and it's all kinds of wacky. I want to say wonky. I've run diagnostics on it, and it says that everything's fine, but it can only detect one monitor. Is that a video card issue, or where do we go with that?
Hey, Peter, did you say that the two monitors are actually mirroring each other, or one just doesn't work at all?
So when they're mirroring each other, so when they're both on, they're both, like the mouse moves across both and they have the same setup,
so you just
and
have
it
a
was
mirror.
Not like that before.
Yeah, that's definitely a video driver issue. So go into your display, and there are settings on there for mirroring.
Well,
I've
already done that. It doesn't detect that there's two monitors attached.
So that's the. In other words, he wants it to mirror. And so now
we want it to spread, so you get an extended home screen.
Right.
But it doesn't detect that the second monitor is there to spread to.
And it did until it beeped that time and shut down.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a clue.
And you have a single video card that's displaying both monitors.
One's on a DVI out, the other's on a VGA.
Right.
It's 4 years old now.
Yeah. If you have already tried the software diagnostics and that's not the issue, it may well be that the video card isn't picking up the two monitors.
So what
which is
do?
Weird because you're getting the mirror display, so it's obviously functional.
It's been frustrating me for the last couple of days.
What about the beep? What about the beep and then the shutdown that preceded this? What does that tell you?
That Not much, unfortunately, because that really could be anything. I would remove the driver and get the latest driver.
Reinstall it, yes.
But make sure you uninstall the old one first, and then install the new driver.
Could it be a physical situation where you just have to pull the video card and put it back in place?
Yeah, that's something that I certainly would do. Typically, what I would do is a hard reset
of the hardware.
Exactly. Just take it out, boot the machine up, turn it so that it knows what's going on. Turn it off. Put the car back in, and then put the latest driver on it. That should get that going.
Well, Peter, good luck with that. You know, that beep though, and the shutdown reminds me of a time long ago when I had a computer, and the lithium battery was going, and it would beep and would shut down. Now, is it possible that the memory, or do they not have lithium batteries anymore, where it would have to remember that setting for the video card?
I am not aware of any video card that has lithium batteries in it.
No, the motherboard
on
itself.
The motherboard.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in other words, the settings.
Are you talking about the BIOS settings on a system? Yeah, there was a lithium battery on there. I don't know if it causes a system to beep and shut down. Mm. Typically, you just lose settings if you reboot the computer. Okay. But that wouldn't cause a system to shut down.
Tony Yang is our guest. We'll take a quick break here. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. More of your calls coming up.
Support comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, supplying the greater capital region with custom display solutions, commercial casework, and interactive exhibits for trade shows, special events, and museum exhibitions. EmpireExhibits.com. Cindy McMahon, Associate Broker at Hunt Real Estate ERA, senior real estate specialist offering resources to help guide clients over 50 with their real estate opportunities and challenges. GetCindySold.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans. Hand-picked selection of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons, grapesandgrainswine.com. Curtis Lumber announcing their new kitchen showrooms, featuring kitchen design trends and cabinets from Wellborn and Merillat, and quartz countertops from Cambria. CurtisLumber.com. And Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends.
Oh, hello once again. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here, and he is batting 1,000, answering your computer questions. And let's go back to the phones, and Mike in Slingerlands. Mike.
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Hi, Mike.
I have a PC. It's an Asus PC, relatively new, year and a half or so old, running Windows 10. And it seems to have a sleeping sickness problem. When it goes into sleep mode, I have to reboot it in order to be able to get it to come back up. And I was wondering if you had any ideas on what I could try.
Yeah, that actually happens quite often.
Really?
On PCs. Typically, it's because the power management, something in the power management is misaligned with the system. So couple of things for you, Mike. One is get the latest BIOS for your laptop. Number two is just look through your power management setting. I would just set it back to default and see if that makes a difference. Or maybe just add one more thing to that, and that is get the latest driver for all of the components on your laptop. So that means video drivers, sound drivers, any of these things can cause PCs not to come back properly.
Flashing BIOS is not without danger, though, right?
It is not. But, you know, they made it so that it's much easier than it used to be.
Okay.
You can do it right within the Windows operating system.
Oh, really?
System. So that, you know, that made things a lot easier. Especially Asus, they've come a long way over the years. So hopefully, you know, that's your case, Mike. That you can download the BIOS and just update it in Windows, do that first, and then get all the latest drivers for your computer. And hopefully, that would take care of the problem for you.
Okay, and it's something that probably just occurred accidentally, right?
Something got misaligned. Yep, these things happen because Windows 10, for example, always has updates going on.
Yeah.
And you don't know if the updates has a conflict with your driver. So many different things can cause issues like that. So you're not alone, Mike.
Okay, well, that's good to hear that I'm not alone. Yeah.
Cold comfort indeed. Well,
thank you very much.
Okay,
good luck. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Tony Yang is here to answer your questions about computers and operating systems and such. Lynn in Pittsfield is next. Lynn.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
Am I the only person in the world who feels like I'm in the middle of a software war? Every time I get a PDF, I can't open it, and Google wants me to put something in Google Docs, and Outlook wants me to use Edge, and I'm continually reconfiguring things.
Yes.
And yep. I don't hear anybody talk about that, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
Lynn, you are on the same boat as the rest of us.
Yeah.
I mean, we have no secrets to...
We're just pawns in the big game,
That's
Lynn.
Right. You know, the problem here is that every manufacturer have their own add-ons to your browser, to even software sometimes, that makes other components work with it, whether it's software or a physical device. And you just have to keep adding drivers and adding components to make things work right.
Yeah.
You can't lock it out.
No, there's no magic. There's no magic solution to it.
So you have Windows 10, Lynn. So you know this is true.
Yes.
I have Windows 10, but
I use
Chrome most
of the time. I have my automatic update turned off. I do not let them automatically update
me. Well, I like to have those updates done. I mean, I think it's safe.
No, I do it. There's a little thing in there that says notify me or something, and they say we want to update this and that, and I say sure, go ahead. I just want to know about it.
But my computer is funny, and I'm sure you see this too. I use Chrome most of the time, and every now and then I'll get a little message that pops up on the side of my computer. Mm-hmm. By the way, Edge is 10% safer and faster. It's like I don't want your information. I'm fine with what I have.
Right.
So yeah, there's a software battle going on, Lynn. But do you have a specific question you need answered?
Yes, I do have a specific question. Well, actually, it's a quick comment. I have two pieces of software I'm madly in love with. One is Malwarebytes. Everybody in the world should have that. It's wonderful. You already talked about that one.
Right.
The other one is I bought a Lenovo laptop, which I love. It's a very wonderful machine, except they reconfigured the keyboard. And so I went in and found out that there is a software program that allows you to reconfigure your keyboard. I'm a touch typist.
Mm-hmm.
And so they moved a key out of the way that lets you go into uppercase letters.
Yeah.
And I went crazy with it. I was going to take the computer back until I found this software program called KeyTweak.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
cool. It works like mad. It's great.
But
that's all I wanted to tell you.
Oh, that was all? Oh, okay.
You can't help me.
No problem.
Well, thanks for the information.
You can't help me with my war, so
no.
That's all I needed.
Well, can't we all just get along? Hey, Lynn, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Over to, let's see, who's been waiting longest here? Uncle Ray. Oh, all right. Tom in Schenectady. Tom, you're on.
Hi. Just want to say, Tony and I go way back. I worked for a state agency. We brought him and his group in many times. They're top notch.
Does Tony owe you any money, Tom?
Wait, is Tom, Tom Corallo?
Tom, yes.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Very good. How are you, Tony?
Very good. Tony, very good.
One is I've got a DSL coming into the house. The more people on computers, does it degrade the speed of the network, the DSL?
So the computers themselves don't necessarily...
I have a DSL coming into the house. If I put one computer on, if my daughter's using a computer and she's on it, if my wife is on another one, the more computers, does it degrade the speed of the network?
Yes. Well, the speed of your network itself, you probably wouldn't see much of a difference. But the speed that you go out to the internet, because you only have that one internet pipeline on a
right.
DSL line. DSL lines are typically
that's right. Yes.
Yeah. So
right.
you're going to end up sharing that okay. That pipeline going now. It will slow it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sorry. I you know what? I'm quick on the trigger. I apologize, Tom. And I know you were about to say something. I thought we were done. So this is on me, and I apologize. Patty in Clifton Park. Patty, you're on.
Hi, guys. I have a Toshiba laptop, and at nighttime I unplug it and then replug it in the morning just to save power, do my part. And I find that when I forget to plug it back in, when I'm accessing the internet, it's a little bit slow, and only when I go to open up the second and third windows that I'm like, what is the problem? How come this isn't connecting faster? Do I realize it's unplugged? And once I plug it back in, those internet connections go up just fine. Do you have any idea why there's an effect there?
So the power cord is plugged. When it's unplugged, your internet is slower?
Yes.
Do you lose the internet altogether? Do you lose the internet altogether, or it just slows down?
Oh, it's just really slow. So if I'm on, let's say I'm on the email, and if I'm working away, and I'm like, oh, this is sending really slow.
Yeah.
And then when I open up another window, I'm like, wow, why isn't this opening? And I'm trying to figure out what my internet problem is. And then I look down and go, oh, forgot to plug it in. And then everything pops up all by itself. So there's an absolute direct correlation. It's been going on in my home when I visit someone on their, you know, on their internet. It's everywhere I go. It's always the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the older days, there were these Wi-Fi adapters on your laptop, which decreases the amount of power that it uses when it's unplugged and it's on battery. But that has been resolved for a while now. The new chips run at the same power level because you use a lot less power than the older devices. So I haven't heard about something like this for a long time.
Maybe it's an old laptop?
Is it an old laptop, Patty?
Well, it depends what you call old. Some people might say, I'm old. I don't think so. it's only maybe 6 years old.
You're probably right around that borderline.
Oh, so it could still
be.
Yeah,
you're probably right around that borderline. You may have one of those older Wi-Fi chips that would draw less power, which gives it lesser ability to pick up signals and to send signals.
And there's really nothing you can do about that, right?
Buy external adapter. They're $20-$30, and you can buy them right over the counter.
What, a Wi-Fi dongle, you mean?
Yeah, just a Wi-Fi dongle.
Okay.
And that might solve your problem for you.
Wi-Fi dongle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, terrific. Thank you so much for the help.
All right, thanks,
goes right in the USB there. Let's see. Over to Albert in Rensselaer. Albert, you're on.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Hi, Albert.
Hi. Yes, I have a question. I have a Samsung Workforce 360, which has a Wi-Fi capability to connect to my computer. However, it does not support 5G connection, which actually my network router does provide.
Yeah.
So my computer is running on a 5G connection, but the printer is running on a 4.
Yeah.
So I'm unable to find it when I run a search for the printers within my network. Are there any is there any solution as opposed to just setting my computers to run in the 4G as well?
I'm sorry. You say 5G. You're talking about your cell phone Wi-Fi coverage?
No, my... No, Bob. I'm running off on a Netgear router, Wi-Fi router.
Okay. So you're running on the 5 gigahertz platform versus the 2.4 is what you're saying.
Okay.
I have both available to me.
You have both available?
Through the router.
Okay. So then you should be able to connect to your 2.4 devices and 5 gigahertz devices without any problems. I'm not sure what the 4G and the 5G differentiation is. That's more on a cell phone front. On Wi-Fi systems, they're basically two frequencies you can run on.
Right.
2.4 or 5 gigahertz, 5.7. And if you got a router that can do both for you, which is what the new AC designation is for. If you have an AC router, it will be able to combine your both networks simultaneously together.
But you're not able to print. So
The printer itself is running on 4, on the
2.4.
2.4.
Right.
And if I connect my computer to the 2.4, then I'm able to find it within the network. But if I connect my my computer over to the higher speed, it's not able to. I'm not able to find it within my network.
I see. You might want to check your router to see if you have separated the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz networks. That's a setting that many routers have to keep the security intact. Other than that, might want to try a different router.
Is that a way to join the two?
By default, it's always joined together.
Right.
Because they understand you have a lot of 2.4 devices and 5 gigahertz devices. Yep. So typically, it's always combined together. Maybe you accidentally separated it. I would take a look at that or try a different router that's capable of both.
Albert, thanks a lot. Quickly over to John. John, you're on.
Hi. Thanks very much for the call. It's a question about distributing a internet signal in an old and fairly large country house. Part of the house, the signal is fine. In part of the house, the signal is almost non-existent. The part where the signal is very low or non-existent could possibly be influenced by a steel I-beam that was inserted during a modification of the old house. I don't know whether that would interrupt the signal. My question is, how do I go about diagnosing the extent of the problem, and then how do I go about fixing it? And is this something I can do myself, or must I engage somebody to help me with this?
Hi, John. So the issue is that you have a rather large house,
big old house.
And you think the beam might be an issue as well. That's a fairly common problem. Because these Wi-Fi routers, they can only go a certain distance. It's usually 300 to 500 feet, open air. And if you're in the house, then anything could happen. Beams do cause issues. We've seen that on large deployments. Good news for you is there are these Wi-Fi systems now that you can buy over the counter. So Google, for example, believe it or not, have their own system.
Right.
It's like $300-$400. It comes with three different routers.
Yeah.
And you can... I mean, you can cover a 10,000 square feet house with that.
Now, I've seen advertisements for range extenders. What do they do?
Yeah, range extenders.
I have a range extender in my system.
Yeah,
and it doesn't seem to do anything.
No, range extenders doesn't work as well.
Uh-huh.
So what these systems do, you will have to run a cable to each access point, but typically the systems are three access points, and you put them strategically throughout your house, run a wire to them. And that will bring the signal throughout the entire house.
And at the end of the cable, there's a router. Is that what it's connected to?
It's a wireless access point, not a router. But it will give you Wi-Fi signal throughout the entire house. And it works very, very well.
Well, okay, just before I go, what is it that I ask for when I'm trying to buy this?
Without giving name brands, what is the actual device?
No, just what is the thing?
Multiple access point Wi-Fi system.
Multiple access point Wi-Fi system. Okay.
Many large manufacturers have them now.
All right. Hey, John, thanks a lot for the call. A lot of interesting calls today.
Very interesting. That's great.
Yeah, and maybe next time you're on, there'll be some major internet disaster that we can discuss, and it'll be a lot of fun. All right, Tony Yang, how do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about GIG?
www.gigsystems.com.
www.gigsystems.com.
Yep.
Well, are you booked for the next show? Do we know when you're coming on again?
Don't know, but I'm looking forward to it.
Have you been nice to our producer, Jim Lavoulis?
As nice as I can be.
Really? He's shaking his head.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think you might be in trouble, Tony Yang. All right, man. Thanks a lot for being here.
Hey,
have a great holiday season.
You too. You too.
We'll see you. We'll see you at the Fun Drive. It's coming up.
All right. Sounds good.
Support comes from Rick Orlando's New World Home Cooking Company Kitchen and Bar, Saugerties, cooking local, sustainable, and global comfort food. Dinner 7 days and Sunday buffet brunch. NewWorldHomeCooking.com. 9-Pin Cider Albany, hard cider made from local apples. Tasting room features New York cider, beer, wine, spirits, Tuesday through Sunday. Now available in Massachusetts and Connecticut. 9pincider.com. Interim Healthcare, for 46 years providing home care for individuals, companions, aides, and nurses, serving the greater capital region, Columbia and Saratoga counties and Glens Falls, interimhealthcare.com. And Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing assisted living, rehabilitation, skilled nursing, and respite care. Friends, family, community, 518-456-7831 for tours or information. Thanks again to Tony Yang of Gig Computers for joining us today. Thank you for the tremendous calls today and for listening to this program. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell today. Our producer is the aforementioned Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Chef Rick Orlando joins Food Friday with ideas for what to make with all those holiday gift baskets. And that's tomorrow. But coming up next, it's news.